this is Susie for Minishoes Ministries. It is my pleasure to present to you a new episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're tuning in. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. The Next Step is the voice of Armodoxy, a weekly podcast that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. Our seventh season is well underway, inspired by our spiritual pilgrimage to both sides of Mount Ararat. Father Vazquez's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on Christ's principles of love, faith, and hope. At epostle.net, we reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. We produce these shows free of charge and make them available for download at epostle.net, as well as via multiple podcatchers, including Apple iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, and our very own epostle app. You can also subscribe to receive email notifications every time a new episode is released. However you choose to tune in, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 345 of The Next Step, a podcast that connects the dots, that puts it all together between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. In fact, we look at life, the very fabric of our being, through the lens of one of the most ancient traditions in all Christendom, the Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. This Armodox look is yours for the taking, yours for sitting back and enjoying. So if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. So glad to have you with us today. It is a beautiful day in Southern California. It is hot. It's hard to believe it's the middle of winter. It's January 15th, and we're just enjoying this hot, beautiful, sunny day. And I am at Epostle East today in the Pasadena studio recording, and it's just beautiful outside. I'm looking out the window. Okay, before I get accused of tempting people to be envious, right? Lead us not into temptation. I will back off of the weather conditions wherever you may be. If you're seeing snow flurries, if you're seeing some bad weather, whatever the case may be, I hope for the next few minutes you'll be able to just sit back, kick back a little bit, and enjoy a few moments together sharing some ideas. Got a lot to share with you today, and the whole crew is over here. Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer. Some ideas about, well, where we're going, what we're doing, what the next step is. You saw the launch of the In His Shoes website, and I want to thank everybody who's been commenting on it. Yes, it is beautiful. I'm so proud of it and happy with it, and once again, want to do a big shout out and a thank you to Ani Tarosian for putting it together. It is really a tool for us. It's a magnificent tool by which we're able to reach out with our events and all of our programming. So if you haven't had a chance to take a look at it, do check out inhisshoes.org. It has gotten a major facelift, and we're really enjoying it. We're really enjoying being able to get the message out in this way. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, getting the message out. A lot of things happened in the last week. We are preparing for the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. I shared with you last week that I had a chance to meet with legend, with the jazz musician legend, Herbie Hancock, and we're hoping that he is a goodwill ambassador. We're hoping that we're able to talk to him and maybe get him to be supportive in a different way, maybe making an actual appearance. So that's coming up. And I can't tell you more than that because of some of the sensitive issues that are attached to that. But I was really excited to meet this jazz legend. Do you know, before there were CDs, there were what was called records. Yes, there were albums, phonograph records, okay? And I have gone through the gamut of them. I have gone through the 78 RPMs. Psh, Yes, the ones that really went fast. Those small little 45s, and of course the 33 and the third albums. And these numbers, 78, 45, 33 and the third, they refer to the number of revolutions that these discs would make on the phonograph record. Of course, they were replaced later on, not replaced by cassettes, but cassettes came along, 8-track tapes, and replaced by the CD market, which I believe probably in the early 90s had its heyday. And interestingly enough, we are post-CD because very few people are really using CDs this day. If you think about it, one of your best means of listening right now to music is probably in your car. Really, your best stereo system is probably in your car. Most people are listening on little pads and pods and in their earbuds and so on. There's a wide variety of digital media that's out there, and which has replaced the CDs, which took away the other side of the phonograph record. Yes, phonograph records had two sides to them. And then the CD just has one side to them. But of course, it contained much, much more space to put information. And now we have small little thumb drives and iPods and MP3 players. There's different means by which we can get the music out. So when I met with Herbie Hancock, it was interesting because, believe it or not, I am so old. How old are you? Well, I am so old that I used to listen to his music on reel-to-reel. Now, this is a technology that you're probably not familiar with, but these were giant reels. If you watch some of the old shows, especially some of those sci-fi shows, or some of those espionage shows, there you go. What was it? That one that it will self-destruct. Mission Impossible, that's it, right? And usually at the beginning of the show, you would see a reel-to-reel recorder where the information was passed along on this tape. And then within a few seconds, I believe it was, this tape will self-destruct. Do you remember that beginning? If you haven't seen it, I'm sure it's somewhere existing on YouTube's. But anyway, Mission Impossible would start off with these reel-to-reel tape recorders, and then the instruction was on there. Well, I used to listen to Herbie Hancock's music. A lot of jazz music, a lot of early music back in the 60s, 70s on these reel-to-reel recorders. My dad had a nice one, and we'd be listening to these big tapes, giant tapes. And so when I met with Mr. Hancock, it was really interesting because the first thing that I came out of my mouth was, hey, I used to listen to your music back on reel-to-reels. And it was, I felt like a giddy child meeting this legend. I mean, really, really legend. But one of the important things that he mentioned to me, it was interesting because we were talking about the Armenian Genocide and how we can address certain issues of peace today. And he made a mention that, all of music today has really been influenced by the jazz and the blues that came out in the 20th century. And if you think about it, those blues musicians were answering back to this incredible era of darkness, which was slavery. And, as slaves, they would be singing these blues. And I thought for a minute, wow, incredible. If you think about it, all of modern music that we have today, whether it's rock and roll or later on into the hip-hop era and everything, it all comes back to some roots that came out of one of the most darkest eras in American, if not the world, civilization, where slavery was so prominent and so slavery was legal, and you had these slaves who would be singing the blues, and that blues became the foundation on which all the modern music, and later on from American blues, of course, not only did American rock and roll come out, but of course the whole British invasion, all British rock and roll. And so you've got this incredible wealth of music that has come about because of this tragedy of slavery. And you know, these are the kind of concepts that we've been struggling with over the past couple of years as we're preparing for the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. And I wanted to share it with you because you Next Step listeners know that we're all about taking the next step. How do you move forward? Several years ago when we had the Forgiveness Conference, that's what it was about, was how do you deal with a tragedy on the level of genocide in a real manner, rather than just paying lip service. And those are the kind of concepts that I want to share with you because we're preparing right now. We have got, today is exactly 100 days before April 24th. April 24th is a magical marker number because it was on that day that the instructions were given to annihilate the Armenian people. And within Istanbul, they went out and they rounded up the April 24th, 1915, they rounded up the intelligentsia, the intellectual group, the clergy. They rounded up and started this program of mass annihilation. And their program was to get rid of all of the Armenians. And so here we are 100 years later, and what's the mark that we leave? What do we talk about? So I'm going to be sharing some ideas with you, especially in light of the fact that a couple days ago, we unveiled and blessed a new monument in Burbank. And I have to be honest with you, I was so touched and moved by our Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, who gave me the opportunity to give the keynote address that night. I was very honored. And I was very thankful to him because it gave me an opportunity to share some of these concepts for people beyond like our Next Step audience. You people who are listening to the Next Step know what we're all talking about. But, you know, there's a whole audience out there that's not in tune with what that next step must be. Because, look, this is the 100th anniversary. And you know what it means? It means next year will be the 101st anniversary. So you've got to do something more than just commemorate because it's a nice round number. The commemoration has to have some meaning, just as our faith has to have some meaning. Now, a few things that came up over the last few days, I want to share with you, one of which is yesterday, they called a press conference. The United Armenian Commemorative Committee, this is all 19 organizations here in Los Angeles, called a press conference. Would you believe the press conference was conducted in Armenian? Yeah, you heard me right. It was conducted in Armenian. Oh, what's wrong with that? Well, it's a press conference. Do Armenians know the story? Yeah, we know the story. Isn't it time we get this message out to another audience? Isn't it time that we started talking to other people? This reminds me back in the 1980s, I was serving as pastor. And this was a really pivotal moment for me when I found this flyer that came to my attention. Back, I was in Cupertino, and I got this flyer that says, here, call this number. And there used to be these numbers called 900 numbers. You would call the 900. I don't know if they still exist, but basically the phone company would charge you something and the sponsor of that 900 number would get a few dollars out of each call. And this was a 900 service that you would call up, and it said, learn about the Armenians. And so I called up this number to find out what they are saying. And I listened to a recorded message all in Armenian talking about how great the Armenians are. Okay, well, do we need to tell ourselves? And isn't it time that we start telling other people what's going on? And language, the means by which we communicate, is essential. And this was very pivotal in my life. I remember this moment because after I listened to that recording, I said, this is the time where we need to move beyond that. We need to get this message out to other people. I was a young priest at that time and very, very volatile too. I still am volatile. Anyway, it was very sad to learn that after 30 years since that event, that yesterday I attended a press conference, 100 days to April 24th, and the press conference is basically preaching to the choir, Armenians talking to Armenians. And we have to do a little bit more than that, don't we? I mean, when you think that right now our good friends Gabriel Starring, We've talked a lot about him. You know, he's a very close person to In His Shoes Ministries. A few years ago, we honored him as the Person of the Year. Gabriel Starr is making his 20th visit to the Darfur camps, to the camps that are filled with exiles from the Darfur genocide. That's happening right now. And we as Armenians, of course, cannot just sit around and commemorate something that happened 100 years ago without paying attention to what's going on right now. And so let me share with you a few ideas about that. And also we've got the Martin Luther King weekend coming up. Be talking about that great civil rights leader who really is a very influential person, not only in my life, but should be in everyone's life, because he was able to take the message of Christ and put it to actual practical terms. And this week, as part of the In His Shoes programming here in the Los Angeles area, a group of us are going to be attending the new movie called Selma. And I would love it if you Next Step listeners who are not in the area, of course, if you're in the area, please do join us. But if you're not in the area, please do see that movie, because I'd love to talk about it next week, and maybe we can kick around some ideas about that as well. I'm going to start off with the song of the day right now and come back with a wide variety of all kinds of stuff to share with you, and including, I hope, if we can get it up, we will have the soundtrack from the speech that I gave at the monument. So we'll have that as well. Right now we break for the song of the day. This is an artist you probably have not heard. He was a student of mine, Hagop Seropian. This is off of an album that they made recently called Private Cat Radio. Here is a song called Tears. Enjoy. Thank you. Chicago Psaropan. Song called Tears. Private Cat Radio is the name of that album. If I can, I'll try to get something on their show notes about that because, you know, I love to encourage new artists. I'm very proud of Hagop. He was a student of mine back when I was teaching at St. Gregory Hovsepian School. And since then, he's gone on to become quite successful in law. And he does this music, and I just love listening to that music. So that is off of Private Cat Radio. Hope you enjoyed it. Share with you a few ideas, and like I said before, if we can, next few minutes, Ken will let me know if we can get this soundtrack to the monument opening. I spoke in both languages, Armenian and in English. We'll try to get the English translation up and running here on the next step, so you'll be the first people to hear the English one before it even goes on the YouTube channel. It should be up on the YouTube channel this evening if we can't get to it. But I want to share with you a few ideas today about what's going on in life. And this is not necessarily about Armenian life, but the Armenian life happens to have a message for all of us. And no matter what difficulties you're going through, whatever kind of challenges that are in your life, you find that at some point they're beyond you. And it's important that in addressing those challenges in your life, you understand that it is an evolutionary process, that there is not just one single answer that says, oh, boom, and here is the answer. But most complicated things do take some thought. God has given us a brain by which we reason, we think, and there's nothing wrong with thinking. You know, sometimes we get too hung up, especially in religious life, about things that are mystical to the point that we forget that you need to also mix in there a little bit of common sense. And certainly we've been seeing this, especially in the climate of the world, where you've got so much intolerance. Pope Francis lately has been talking a lot about tolerance. Just recently he talked and addressed the situation in France. And he said, of course, no religion has the right to exterminate life in the name of God. You can't do that. And I'm paraphrasing, of course. You can't just exterminate life because you don't believe in some concept that somebody else doesn't have. But at the same time, he also warned that no religion has the right to make fun or mock another person's religion. A little tap at people who are lampooning some of the radical fundamentalist ideas that are coming out in world religion. And recently, I know on BeliefNet, there was a series of statements that were made about mistakes that people make about the gospel. A lot of times people think that Jesus was about end times. He was alluding to things that were going to happen. And really, the gospel is about right now. Remember when St. John the Baptist comes on site. In fact, today in the Armenian Church happens to be the celebration, commemoration of St. John the Baptist. And when you read about the Baptist or the forerunner, Garabed is the Armenian word for that, the forerunner. He came to prepare the way for the Lord. What was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right now. It's at hand. It's not something that's going to happen way out there in the future or distant future, but right now. There is an accessibility clause, so to speak, that it's available right now and it's yours for the taking. So that caught my eye, and especially with Martin Luther King weekend. To me, this is really a very special weekend because it gets us to look at a civil rights leader who was able to take those concepts that Jesus gave and apply them to the real life of the suffering of the people who are oppressed, and understand that Christ gives us a message of liberation, of moving forward, of not understanding things. You know, Christ says, I leave you peace, not as this world gives you, but a very special peace, a peace that comes from God. And that peace is attainable to all of us. And so I'm using some metaphors, some stories from the Armenian people, but I think if you really apply it, you can understand that it really fits into all of our lives, wherever we may be in our lives, whatever difficulties we may be having with our relationships, with our work, with our school, whatever the case may be. There are applications of faith in all aspects of our lives. So this occurred to me. Now, let's take a look at what's going to happen on April 24th. I shared with you that this is the day. 100 days from today, it'll be the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. It was April 24th on which the orders were given to round up the first group of people to be executed. And the plan was to annihilate every Armenian man, woman, child, any breathing Armenian soul, and annihilate them, kill them. And at the end of the genocide, there was over 1.5 million Armenians who lost their lives, who were martyred. And on April 24th will be the 100th anniversary, and we have an opportunity to do something. Now, the church leaders, of course, we understand Armenian Orthodoxy, and there is this structure. And, you know, when I talk about Armodoxy, it's really looking at the faith rather than the means by which that faith is delivered. And certainly there is a case that, you know, that means is important. Of course, there is a church, there's a hierarchy. But what they've decided is that this year, on the 100th anniversary, they are going to canonize the martyrs. In other words, they will be saints now. Okay, the people who died in 1915, or during the genocide, it was actually 1915 to 1922, 1923. The 1.5 million souls will be canonized. They will be saints. Well, what's going to happen right now? April 23rd, let's go one day earlier, will be the last time that a requiem service can be offered for these souls. Because once they are canonized, they are no longer victims, but they are victors in Christ. So you cannot have a requiem service because the church is already, you know, Christ says, on this I establish my kingdom, my church. And he says, whatever you set free on earth shall be set free in heaven. Whatever you bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven. And he gives this authority to the church, to his sacred body. And so the church now is canonizing a group of people as saints. They're no longer victims, but victors. So from April 23rd, there will be the last requiem mass offered for them. And April 24th, they will be seen as victors, namely saints of the Armenian Church. Now, what's interesting is what's going to happen on that Sunday or Sundays afterwards when somebody comes up and says, you know, I want to have a requiem service for my grandmother, my great-grandmother, who perished in the genocide. Well, here's a very practical theological question that we have to ask. You can't do it. You can't do it. You got to turn to the guy and say, I'm sorry, but your grandmother is now a saint. We can't offer the requiem service. Basically, that's the answer that you need to give. The bones of the martyrs. There is Deir Zor, which is along the desert, where thousands, hundreds of thousands of Armenians were led. And this is a mass grave, basically. And there are bones and relics. Some of those bones have been brought to different centers within the diaspora. Now, those bones now become relics because they are relics of the saints. And so they are given this very special status, not just to be bones, but to be actual holy remains, relics. And so we start talking about these kind of concepts, and then you start thinking, well, wait a minute, in all of this, where is the redeeming value? How are we bringing souls to the enlightenment of Christ? See, because the whole object of the church is to bring people to Christ. It's not to just create, you know, events. It's not just to create different opportunities for people to say, oh, this is the 100th anniversary. But what is the purpose of having a saint there? On what grounds were the saints, were these people canonized? Well, certainly there was a lot of people that did not give up their faith. They were martyred. They had the option. Now, these people, there's no question about it. This is a gospel tradition, okay? So to speak. You're given the opportunity to live if you deny your faith. And you opt for death without denying your faith. Now, that person becomes a saint. That person is qualified to become a saint. Certainly, there were people who denied their faith. Certainly, people who were angered at God. Definitely. You see the destruction of your people, of your families, of your town. And of course, you're angered at God. Obviously, it's not within us to be judge or jury over those people. Obviously, they had every right to be angered, at the very least. At a God who seemingly was not answering their prayers, right? And so you have a multitude of different responses to the genocide, and blanketly we're making everybody a saint. So you have some issues over there, but here's the question that I have. What does this canonization do to bring people closer to Christ? How does this affect us, you and me? And this is a very important question. Because in the long run, the church has an obligation to bring people to Christ, to bring people to the enlightenment that Christ offers. There is a beautiful saying in the Armenian church. It says, Astvaz martatsa vor marta astvazana. God became man so that man can touch the divine, can become God. And don't take that literally. It loses in the translation, definitely. It's not about people becoming God, but basically having that opportunity to ascend to the divine. So at what point do these actions that we take, whether it's canonization or considering these bones now relics and distributing, how does this bring people closer to God, to the enlightenment that God offers, that raises us from our human condition and puts us in the sight of the divine? And these are important questions, because as we go through life, we see that we have all kinds of difficulties. Of course, not on the scale of genocide, but we have our problems in life, whether it's health issues, whether it's physical issues, it's spiritual issues, emotional issues, psychological issues, issues of relationships, basic ones that you have in work, in the workplace. Problems and problems in school, keeping up with the demands that are put upon you. And you apply to faith, and that faith has to give you some kind of comfort with an answer. Not an immediate answer, of course, because as I said, you know, it requires a dialogue, and it requires for you to be thinking, for you to be alert in your prayer life, with your meditations, with your acceptance of certain things, compromises in your life, and acceptance of higher ideals. But at some point, that faith has to have a real and practical meaning in your life. And what we find is a lot of times we get caught up with some of these magical things that happen, some of the extra trappings that happen. And I've shared this with you many times. You walk into an Armenian church and you see that, you know, there's all these trappings, the bells and whistles. I just got a letter from somebody who said the Armenian church, there's nothing like the Armenian church when it comes to sacramental life. It's beautiful. The sacraments. But you know what? I'm going to my local church because we're studying the Bible over there and we're learning about heaven. This is a letter that we just received. Interesting, right? Interesting. So, in other words, we like the bells and whistles. Those are nice. You have the jingles and you have the smoke and you have the lights. But I need something more than that. And I need some substance that's going to be talking to my head that's going to be talking to my soul. And certainly you're in your right when you start questioning in these terms, because life is more than those bells and whistles. Those bells and whistles are very important because they decorate the life, but those bells and whistles do not answer all the primal needs that you have in your life. Raising children, dealing with an aging population of your parents, dealing with issues that you have in relationships. And so that faith has to become very real in your life. Now, Martin Luther King, civil rights leader, was able to do this. He was able to take bits and pieces from Christ's gospel. And the bits and pieces that he took were very practical approaches to faith. He was able to meld them together and show a course of action in life. Right now, what I'm going to do for you is we're going to play, Kim gave me the signal that he does have it. We're going to play the soundtrack from the monument opening. This took place 2 days ago on January 13th. A new monument was erected at the St. Leon Cathedral, Armenian Cathedral, in Burbank, California. It's in the Los Angeles area. This is the headquarters for the Armenian Church, Western United States. And the Archbishop Hovnan Derderian asked me to give the keynote at that monument opening. So I want to share with you some ideas that I shared with the people that had assembled. We had just seen the consecration of that monument. In other words, it was consecrated with the holy myron, the holy oil, the chrism. And in that consecration, it was dedicated with a certain cause and a certain meaning. And I'm going to share with you what I shared with the people there. And then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about that. This is from the St. Leon Cathedral. This is only the English portion. The entire thing appears on YouTube. You'll have an Armenian and English portion to it.
Dear friends, tonight we stand here on this, in front of this monument, on a very special day, because today is a day of change. It was only a few years ago that His Eminence Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, the primate of this diocese, took a very bold and courageous stand by saying that April 24th is no longer a day of mourning alone, but it is a day for us to celebrate the life that we have, for we have risen from the ashes of death. A few moments ago, you saw the Sarpazans pour the holy myron, the holy chrism, on this monument. And it gave life to this monument. This is unusual. People will not understand this, but the Holy Spirit is the power represented in that holy myron. And so even these stones that are standing here today have a living condition in front of them. They are here to stand as proof that light will always overcome darkness, that goodness is always more powerful than any evil that is out there, that life will always conquer death, and that beyond every crucifixion is a resurrection to those who believe. The significance that we are standing here in front of St. Leon Cathedral is immense. Just as our Mount Ararat has been the holiness that has witnessed our suffering as well as rebirth, St. Leon Cathedral stands here today as a monument to our faith. A faith in Christ that beyond death there is life. Because it was 100 years ago that the enemy wanted to annihilate every living Armenian. But the only weapon they had was their sword. And by today's standard, people will think that that is a mighty power. But we have an even greater power, the power of God. And when you have God in your side, as Martin Luther King said, you are always a majority, you are never a minority. We, as an Armenian people, are living because we had the greatest power that we ever had, and that is the power of God working within us and through us in faith and hope. It touched us in all different ways. The Turk wanted to destroy Armenians. He wanted to silence the Armenian voice, extinguish the light, kill the life, and take us up to the cross and leave us hanging there. But today, that same faith that we had in the past is a witness that the grave is not the end, that love never dies. Have love in your hearts, because it's impossible to extinguish life, it's impossible to kill the spirit, and impossible to end life. The two witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ himself came to Armenia with this simple message, that he is not in the tomb, because beyond the tomb there is life. Don't look for life inside that tomb. The Armenian people are not there. Because the Armenian light, the Armenian spirit, the Armenian life is built on a foundation of Jesus Christ, who is love incarnate. This monument stands here today at St. Leon Cathedral, not by chance. No, it's not by chance. It's where it belongs, in the shadow of faith. It's not by chance that it was consecrated today. In the Armenian Church today, we celebrate and commemorate the feast of St. John the Forerunner. St. John the Forerunner, who went before Christ and said, "Repent, for this is the way to the kingdom of God. It is at hand." And if we are to see righteousness and goodness in this world, we need to have a repenting heart, starting with us, but permeating throughout the world. And until the enemies stand there and repent and say that they did wrong, we cannot be silent. This monument is one more voice. It's the Armenian voice that we will not be silenced, because the evil that was started on April 24th continued through Germany, through Cambodia, through Bosnia, through Rwanda, and today in Darfur. We are just the first leg of that evil, but we also have the power to overcome that evil. If you count the days, today is exactly 100 days before April 24th. I'm asking all of you to commit yourself, recommit yourself to all things Armenian. Among the greatest of these is our faith. Commit yourself to the faith that has brought us to this moment right now. Just as the Holy Muron gave life to this stone statue, let it give each and every one of us that life to honor the past, to recognize the present, and to define our tomorrows. We are the living generation, and we are standing here at the crossroads of all of humanity with a responsibility to talk, to be that voice in the wilderness, to ask for repentance so that there can be righteousness. I want each of us tonight to thank God, because we as an Armenian people have resurrected from that crucifixion. But even greater, beyond the resurrection, we are on the path to ascension. They used to call us starving Armenians. Today, Armenians feed most of the world. As you know, most of the Central Valley is owned by Armenians, is owned by Armenian farmers, feeding the world. That's the starving Armenians. In other words, that power of love, of might, is always greater than all the evil that is out there. Believe that God is with you, and you can overcome all the adversary that is out there. Repentance is the way. Repentance is the way to the kingdom. Christ's love and power will always be more powerful than anything that the world can ever throw out at us. And I'm asking all of you here today to remember our Lord Jesus Christ's words, "I am with you to the end of the ages." God is with us. God is with the Armenian people. And today we stand here ready to take on the future for righteousness and for life. God bless the Armenian people, and God bless all of you.
Okay, from the monument opening at the St. Leon Cathedral, I want to thank dear friend Adam Mosoyan for recording that. I appreciate that. And we have a recording of that, because I didn't have any text. I was speaking from notes, and I got a call the next day. Hey, we want to print that. And I didn't have anything. So luckily, dear friend Autumn, who records our weekly Armenian Christianity Today programs, he had recorded that. So he was just good enough to get it to me overnight, and I was able to listen to that and put together a text to that. And like I said, this will all be on the website tonight. But I was very honored. I was very honored that the Archbishop gave me this opportunity to share ideas that we've kicked around many times here on The Next Step. And these became new ideas because so many people came up afterwards and said, thank you, because it's not just about the genocide or a memorial. It's about a living tradition today of us being able to react to that negativity that took place. And just as I said earlier, as Herbie Hancock had said, you know, taking that slavery and creating a new sound, and taking that genocide and basically creating a new today, that we are not about living in the grave, but we're talking about people that are living today. And just in the audience that night was Paul Krikorian, who is a Los Angeles City Councilman. Okay, you're talking about the second largest city in the United States, next to New York, Los Angeles. One of the council members is an Armenian fellow named Paul Krikorian. He happened to be there that night, and I'm looking at him, and I'm talking about resurrection. Here's a group of people that 100 years ago were supposed to be annihilated, and their sons and their daughters are now assembled, and one of them happens to be on the city council. Just a few years ago, we had one of them that was the governor of the state. I mean, and as I said in the speech, you know, you talk about the starving Armenians, now they're starting to feed the rest of the world. I mean, this is the concept of resurrection. You're getting over this darkness with opportunities to impact the world with good. And this is really where we come in with the 100 Souls Project. I shared with you this idea last week. I introduced it. And I want to conclude today's show with some more thoughts about this. You know, on April 24th, we have an opportunity to do something positive for the world, to show that we are not dead, that we are not just about protesting and saying, hey, give me, give me, give me, I want my demands. That if we want our demands, we need to be the first people that are out there talking about this evil called genocide. We're not the first people to go through genocide. Certainly in the 20th century, we were the first people. And certainly we weren't the last. Continued in Germany, in Pol Pot's regime, how about in Cambodia? How about in Rwanda? I went to Rwanda. I saw what had happened over there. And today in Darfur. Gabriel's out there in Darfur at the camps in Chad, talking with the people, giving them hope. What are we doing? Protesting what? Something that took place 100 years ago? Definitely, we need to be vigilant and we need to be standing there. But the means by which we ask for that has to be qualified with who we are today. And this is where we apply our faith, our Christianity, to our lives. Not just talk about it, but we apply it. There's an application to it. It's not just some concept out there. It's not about just naming people as saints, but it's a real living religion, and this is how it becomes relevant. This is where you move from sacramental life to real life. That sacrament that we have. I shared with you a few minutes ago, right? We got this letter. The guy said it's a great sacramental church. Well, that sacrament has to have a life. When we apply that sacrament in our lives, when you receive the body and blood of Christ, imagine that. The body and blood of Christ is inside of you. What can you do? Anything. And what should you do? Become the ambassador for that Christ, for love, to be out there preaching that love, and more importantly, doing that love. So, 100 Souls in His Shoes. Coming up April 24th, we're going to be out there throughout the world, and I'm counting on you, my Next Step listeners, to be supportive of this program. This is a really, really important opportunity for us. Do you want to be part of it? Please let me know. I've already gotten commitments from people in different portions of the world. We're looking for 100 people that are going to be doing outreach programs. We've already got a group of people that are going to be praying in a monastery. That's right. A very important component. A prayer life. So for 24 hours, they will be locked up and praying in vigilant prayer. We've got people that are going to be fasting that day. And collecting money for people in Syria, collecting money for homelessness, collecting money for the situation in Darfur. This is our chance to be 100 souls Yeah, we're playing with the word. S-O-L-E. In his shoes. Walking in the shoes of others. This is what Christianity is about. When Jesus came, he asked us to walk in the shoes of others. Right? He said, love one another. Well, how do you love? Completely, totally. You understand. You respect that individual. How do you respect? You walk in their shoes. You feel their pain. Tzavat on them. Let me feel your pain. And this is what we're about. This is actually the only practical application that makes sense today if you're going to be putting together 100 years and a 100-year journey. It's not just about, hey, commemorating. Let me be honest with you. The people who gave up their lives 100 years ago, to me, whether the church says they're saints or not, are already saints. Against their will, they were taken out of their homes. They were raped, mutilated, killed, tortured. What do we need? What do we need people to say that these people are saints? Of course they're saints. Now the real challenge is for us. Under those conditions, what would we do? Well, can we draw some inspiration from them and understand that we are under those conditions? I'm going to leave you with this thought, okay? We're preparing this big installation. It's called the 100-Year Journey, and that also is on our website. That's going to be taking place at the Zorayan Museum. I'm working with my dear friend Gregory Baylarian, and we've been kicking around some ideas about how to make this work. How do we get people engaged in it? And we were talking about mirrors, actually assembling mirrors on some of the exhibits and understanding that, you know, when we talk about genocide, we are all part of that problem because we are fostering hatred. You cannot answer hatred with hatred, but only with the power of love. And so putting mirrors in the installation, it's important that we see a reflection of love, not a reflection of hate. Does that make sense? I mean, think about it. We're talking about the genocide, about what the Turks did. And in so doing, are we fostering more hatred? Are these the seeds by which a Hitler or a Talat Pasha picks up those seeds and nurtures it and waters it and then creates another genocide in the future? You can't be responsible for those seeds of hate. As a Christian, you need to be planting those seeds of love. You need to be the reflection of God in this life. So I'm going to leave you with those thoughts. Now, I want you to listen. This weekend, we're going to be, we do this every year. This is our 12th year. We're doing the Martin Luther King event. We're going to be watching the movie Selma. And we're going to be doing that in Glendale. If you happen to be in the area, please join us. There's information on our website, and you can drop us a note and get some more details. But we're meeting at 1:30 at the St. Peter Youth Ministry Center and then taking off to see the movie and then having a discussion as well as drum circle. If you're not in the area, please go and see this movie this weekend because I'll be talking about it next week, and it'll be great to hear some of your comments, what you thought about it. I don't know what to expect aside from all of my preconceived notions of this great civil rights leader who has moved so many people, including yours truly, me, in ways that are unimaginable, taking the gospel message and making it real, in other words, making it relevant, which is what we're all about. And if you want to know what we're all about and support what we're all about, here's Susie. Yeah, what a transition.
Susie here again. Before continuing with this broadcast, I wish to take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners, for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. The Next Step has given us the opportunity to touch many lives and create lasting friendships. For this, we are immensely grateful. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. So we look forward to your continued support. Thank you and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, thank you, Susie, and thank you to everyone, especially at this beginning of this year. We've been getting so many nice comments and compliments, especially about our website, but also our programming. I want to thank all of you who join us with your prayers and your support. It is a beautiful opportunity for us to produce these next steps and all the programming that we do on In His Shoes. As you know, Next Step is part of this the bigger vision of In His Shoes, and we're hoping that this year we can launch In His Shoes into the organization that it's always meant to be. In other words, to be that next step, an opportunity for us to engage in goodness throughout the world with our past, honoring our past, accepting who we are today, and of course, defining our tomorrows. If you want to get involved in this, please go to our website and just press on that donate button. It is a nice way to get your participation and contribution into this incredible ministry that we started a few years ago, never understanding or never realizing where God would take us. And God has taken us in many, many beautiful directions. For that, we are always thankful. Thankful to you and thankful to God. Hey, that brings us to the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it. I want to ask you to get involved on our website at inhisshoes.org, as well as follow us on Facebook. All of us have personalities over there. But, you know, one of the best ways to get in touch with us, email. Just drop us a line. Always love to hear from you. You can drop an email at feedback@epostle.net. Hey, if you can, get out there and see Selma this weekend. I look forward to being with you again next week when we can talk a little bit more about that. But for right now, I want to thank you for joining us and say on behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.